You know, Patrick talked about, you know, some places overseas, people are unable to do this. You know, people are unable to gather the way that we gather. And I feel like over the past year, God gave us kind of a small glimpse of that, you know, to see how something so small could wreak havoc in our world. When the coronavirus first made news clear across the world, you know, in one city, in one town, never could imagine it could unleash the fury that it did in our world. You know, something so small in such a small area blowing up to the magnitude that it did. You know, it's really crazy. What are some other things that started small to grow to major things? You know, I think about McDonald's. You know, there's one on, you know, you look around, there's one on every corner block in Rock Hill. There's like 15 on every corner block in Rock Hill. You know, it started with two brothers as a small restaurant and has grown to a $143 billion company. You know, talk about starting from the bottom and hitting the big time. What other types of things started small and are huge today? You've got Amazon, you've got Apple. You know, the list can go on and on. There's an enormous amount of things on this list. No, but I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk about some pumpkins. You know, Courtney and the kids, you know, they love carving pumpkins. Me, I hate pumpkins. It annoys me. It's messy. I just don't like them. You know, a few years ago, after carving some pumpkins, the kids made a huge mess. They had them all over our driveway. You know, they had seeds in each other's hairs. They were throwing it across the yard. Ari was eating seeds. You know, it was just nasty. It was a mess. You know, what was fun for them was nasty to me, you know. Fast forward a year, and I'm in the yard cutting grass, and I see this thing shooting up out of the ground. So I asked Courtney what she had planted, because I was about to go Rambo on it with my weed eater. She told me that she hadn't planted anything and didn't know what it was. But however, she was going to watch it as if she planted it. Over the next few weeks, she took care of it. She watered it. She put this little fence around it so nobody could step on it. You know, the excitement of watching this thing grow. For me, not so much. It started taking over half my yard. A few weeks later, you know, it finally produced what it had been growing, and it was a pumpkin. You know, I was kind of hoping for like a watermelon or something we could eat, but, you know, it was a pumpkin. So I said, what in the world? I said, you planted this thing on purpose, you know. While I wasn't looking, you come out here and planted this pumpkin. So why do I tell you this story about the pumpkin adventure? We're going to dig into it and find out. You know, we're continuing our walk through Mark and the parables that Jesus taught. And in case you haven't been here in a little bit, you know, we've been going through these parables for a few weeks now. So if you would, turn to Mark 4, 30 through 34 with me. And this is Jesus here still teaching. And he said, what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all garden plants, puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without parables, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Let us pray. Father God, your word is truth, Father. I pray that, you know, that you would just reveal to our hearts, Father. Just shine light into things that we need to see. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just reveal a word that we need to know, Father. Father, I pray for the people in this room, Father, that you would just bless their life. Father, and let us go out and be light in this world. Father, we love you, In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we pick up here where Jesus was still teaching to the crowd from the boat. He had just taught a few parables, and this leads us into the last parable with the crowds. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. All right, so put yourself in the crowd for a second. A mustard seed? What in the world is Jesus talking about? He said, when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Now, he wasn't being literal here, but in this time, these people knew how small of a seed this was. This was the smallest seed that they used at the time. So they were very accustomed to the mustard seed and understood what he was saying when he said as small as a mustard seed. The amazing thing about this tiny seed, though, is it can grow sometimes 15 feet tall or 6 feet wide and 6 feet wide. You know, this thing would be massive in comparison to the size of the seed when planted. It was much larger than any of the garden plants at the time, and even the birds would nest in its branches. I can tell you, I don't know how seeds grow, and I'm not a gardener, but that's pretty cool to me. Check out this picture of this mustard plant. Things can get massive. So what Jesus is trying to illustrate here is the kingdom of God may start small, it may have started small, but it's going to be, and it is, huge. Let's check it out from a faith perspective, though. Think about some of the faith giants in time. You know, you got Martin Luther, you got Charles Spurgeon, you got Annie Armstrong, Billy Graham. You know, these people's faith didn't start out as deep as it ended. You know, it grew through trials. It grew through some learnings, some persecutions. So it didn't fully start mature. It had to grow. They had small beginnings. They started out like this mustard seed. Someone planted a seed at some point, and God made it grow to the end results. God grew their faith into a giant faith. Paul speaks to this in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. He says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. What Paul here says is we all have an opportunity to do our task. We all have opportunities every day to plant seeds of faith in someone's life. Man, this should bring us joy. This brings me to my first point. You know, plant your seeds with joy. You never know what God would do with it. You know, you look back at these faith giants. You know, when somebody planted that seed, they didn't know what God was going to do with it. But God grew it. In other words, shine your light in all that you do. Don't keep your light under a basket, as we heard from the parable last week, but be Christ in all that you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You never know about what your actions are and what seeds you're planting. So don't ruin that opportunity. God has placed you where you are for a reason. God gives us countless chances a day, most of us, to interact with some people and plant a seed. We should pray daily and earnestly for those opportunities. We should pray for the Holy Spirit to grant us wisdom in those conversations. Do you view life in positive ways and opportunities that you can show Christ? Or do you view it as a negative and let the world blow out your light? Share the gospel and the opportunities you are given. When you see others in need, be that light. You know, plant your seed. If you could see what God is intending to do with that seed you plant, you would be out in desperate need telling people of Christ. Think about being in heaven one day. And someone tells you that because of something you told them, something you said, or the way that you lived, they were able to have their eyes of their heart opened. The Holy Spirit moved their heart. How cool would that be? That treasure alone, someone telling you that eternal life that they have eternal life because of the light of your life, that God was able to use that. You know, there's nothing in this world that should give us greater joy. What an honor. Who knows? Because of a seed that you're able to sow, you could be playing a small part in a role in God, that God is fixing to do in that person's life. Can you remember when someone did that for you? The moment God opened your eyes because of something someone did and revealed truth to you. Do you remember the seed that someone planted in your life? The power of a seed is always invisible to the natural man. That's why the natural man will always make no sense of it, because it is hidden mystery to him. But it's never a mystery to the man who sows in righteousness. He sees his or her seed through the eyes of God, the greatest sower of all. Let's look at the context of the church for a moment. Think about 180-something years ago when the founding members of this church in Edgemoor, South Carolina, were gathering together as a body. How small of a group that was. 33 people. They planted this seed that is now Harmony, and look at the places that the body of Christ of Harmonies went. They've been to South America, Taiwan, Alaska, Haiti, Puerto Rico, and countless other places, not to mention all through our community. That brings me to point number two. Small beginnings don't indicate small results. Small beginnings don't indicate small results. I can't imagine those 33 people knew or had an idea of what God would do with this church, or how far that they would be able to go. But God did. God knew. He used the people in this small church, in this small community, to do great and humbling things. That should make you stand in awe of the power of God all by itself. You know, this is a real life example of in your scope of reality of God doing a mighty work, and you've been able to witness it. But in this parable, the disciples are with Jesus. There were 12 disciples in his ministry, and today there are approximately 2 billion self-professing Christians. That's taken a small beginning and making massive results. God used a group that others looked at as misfits, and he flipped the world upside down. That is the epitome of growing seeds that the world would have cast off as failures. God saw hearts. He saw the inner makings of something that would grow dynamic. Let's look at Jesus for a moment. Jesus, God incarnate, coming to earth as a baby, a seed the Holy Spirit planted in Mary. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was probably so tiny and as fragile, it was a fragile baby. You know, can you imagine holding a little baby? Even though he weighed a few pounds at birth and laid in a manger, he carried the greatest and biggest responsibilities of the world. Jesus later grew up into a manhood and became the Savior of our world. Every one of Jesus' soon-to-be disciples couldn't believe something could come out of an insignificant town. You read in John 1:45, Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can there be anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." As Jesus grew up, most people before his ministry just viewed him as a carpenter or Joseph's son. That brings me to point three. God makes insignificant things significantly important. Though the world may look at something rather small, insignificant, unimportant, unworthy, or weak, God can change the world with it. He can flip the world upside down. What if we told the world what God can do with people? What we see in them, what their potential is, versus criticizing, bullying, being negative, and capping their potential. What if we allowed the Holy Spirit in us to change the world? Each one of you here today is important. You may feel insignificant in faith, in society, in life, but I promise God can do mighty things through each one of you. All you have to do is allow Him to do so. Let Him take control of your life. Some of the greatest movements of faith have come from the worst of times. There's another detail in this parable, though. The birds of the air make nest in its shade. There are several references in the Old Testament about birds. In Psalm 104:12, besides them, the birds of the heaven dwell. They sing among the branches. And in Ezekiel 17:23, on the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And then Ezekiel 31:6, all the birds of the heaven made their nest in its branches. Under its branches, all the beasts of the field gave birth to their young, and under its shadow lived all great nations. You can even look into Daniel 4:9-21. He also references birds. See, you and I, all believers, are the birds that come to search for shade within the plant of the kingdom here on earth. Many come, but not all make nest in its shade. We need to go and tell others how much room we have in the kingdom and how much shade there is in this stormy world. Jesus said, I am the vine, I am the life that provides you shade, shelter, and protection. We must share this truth. Jesus continued to speak in parables that many couldn't understand, but to His disciples, to His church, to His people, the Holy Spirit reveals truth. I leave you with this today. That pumpkin plant that grew in my backyard, it grew through storms, it grew through rain, it grew through wind, it grew through a man dragging a branch while cutting down trees in my backyard. It wouldn't die. So my question is, are you growing? That mustard seed didn't grow overnight. It grew through the trials of this life. That's what made it strong, the testing of its faith. Jesus grew to be the Lord of all the world through trials, persecution, violence from others, to death, to overcoming death. And the trials in your life right now, are you growing, seeking shelter in Jesus, or are you on the verge of giving up? Seek growth. Let us pray. Father God, today as we leave, Father, I pray that in any conversations we have and encounters we have, Father, as we meet people, we will continue to sow seeds, Father. Father, I pray that we'll allow You to use our life. Father, grow us so that we can be a light in this world and that others can see in us something different. Father, that even through just our actions, that we can plant seeds. Father, I pray for gospel conversations. Father, that we can just have conversations in this world right now, in this time when many people have struggles and just uncertainty in things, and Father, just needing truth. Father, I pray that You would just open those doors. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.